Line 38. Chi, the conjunction and, grace, karin, succeeding grace, anti karitos. Line 38 at verse 17. Hoti, honomos. The last word of verse 38 goes with the first word of verse 39. Hoti, honomos. Honomos. Nomos being a nominative singular masculine second declension noun, masculine noun, notice the os ending, the nominative case showing the subject of the sentence, because the law, and the word ho is the nominative singular masculine article, matching the noun that it modifies in gender numbering case, ho also is a proclitic, so it is pronounced with the word nomos, so it's hoti honomos. Because the law, through dia Moseos, Moses, was given, edothe, the grace, he charis. Charis is a third declension noun, but notice, he, nominative singular feminine article. It matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. So charis also is a nominative singular feminine noun that we'll get the study of third declension nouns later in the course. Also notice that he is a proclitic. That is, it goes so closely with the word that follows as to have no accent of its own. Therefore, it is pronounced he charis. The grace, line 40. Chi, the conjunction and, the truth. Notice the grace and the truth. Nominative singular feminine article he, going with the feminine alpha noun, aletheia. Again, in the nominative case, he and aletheia match in gender, number, and case. Also notice again, the article he is a proclitic. So it's pronounced together, going up to the end of line 39, he charis, kai, he aletheia. Continuing on, dia, Iesu Christu, through Jesus Christ, agenito, line 14, became. Line 41 at verse 18, theon, highlighted, notice the theta is capitalized, but notice also that it is in the accusative case. Accusative singular masculine, second declension masculine noun, God, no one has seen at any time. That's theon, ures, heoreka, popote. So the direct object is actually at the beginning of the verse or sentence. It reads in English, no one has seen God at any time. But the word God is at the beginning of the verse, showing that the writer is highlighting the word God, but it actually is the direct object of the sentence and goes behind heroike as far as the meaning. It actually denotes the completion or fulfillment of the direct action of the verb heoreka. So theon ures heoreka popota, line 42. Ho monogenes huios. Interesting phrase. Notice how the article ho and the noun that it modifies, huios, how these two words are divided by monogenes. Monogenes is an adjective describing what kind of son he is, or type of son. And we'll take this when we get into our next lesson. But it is pronounced the only begotten son, showing what kind of son he is. But the word ho and the word huios are the match. The nominative singular masculine article matching the nominative singular masculine second declension masculine noun huios in gender, number, and case, in this case, the nominative case, with the modifying adjective in between that we'll take in our next lesson. So the only begotten son, the one, notice ho, nominative singular masculine article, that it's standing by itself. It does not modify a noun, therefore it is serving as a substantive. and it is substituting itself for the man or the one, making reference back to the son. Notice it matches in gender, number, and case with ho at the beginning of this sentence. And we'll take the how all these words fit together as we go through this course, but you can see the beauty of the Greek language as the mention of ho, making mention back to the word ho monogenes huios. It's the only begotten son, the son who, the one who, ho, being, own, into, ace, ton, kopon, into the bosom. Again, the preposition ace, which we'll take in lesson 16, but notice the highlighted word, ton. It is the accusative singular masculine article, modifying and matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, kolpon. Line 43. Kolpon tu patros. Notice tu is highlighted. It is the genitive singular masculine article, and it matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, patros. The word for father is actually in the genitive case. It is a third declension noun. And this noun in the third declension, os, is the genitive case, not the nominative case. But in this case, we know that it is the genitive case because the article matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. This is the one being into the bosom of the father, showing possession. That one, ekenos, exegeseto, declared him. Christ came to exegete God, to be the exegete of God, the explanation, to give the details of God. Now you should review this exercise while going on to lesson 15 and the study of adjectives. Lesson 14, page 2. Lesson 14, first declension nouns continued. There are two kinds of feminine first declension nouns. First declension nouns that end in alpha, and first declension nouns that end in eta. Our first study will be the declension of first declension eta nouns. That is, nouns that end in eta in the nominative singular. The second study will be the first declension alpha nouns, that is, nouns that end in alpha in the nominative singular. First of all, the endings for first declension nouns ending in eta. You'll notice the nominative singular case. The ending is eta. These endings are placed on the stem of the word. The nominative case indicating the subject of the sentence. Eta in the singular, and I, alpha iota, that's a diphthong, pronounced I. And if you want to make a comparison with the second declension masculine endings that you've already learned, you might fix it in your mind that the plural of the second declension noun is oi, not I. The omicron being the letter characteristic of the second declension masculine noun, the alpha being the feminine characteristic of the first declension noun. So instead of oi, as in the second declension masculine noun, it is I for the feminine noun. The genitive case, the case that shows possession or source. The singular is ace. The plural is the same as the second declension noun, own. Notice the dative case. With the second declension noun, it was o, with the iota subscript underneath the omega. Here in the dative case singular, which is the indirect object, receiving the indirect action of the verb, translated to or for, it is eta, a, with the iota subscript. In the dative plural, it's ice. Again, the alpha feminine noun ending taking the place of the omicron in the masculine. In the masculine, second declension noun, it was ois. In the feminine, it's ice, two or four. The accusative case, which is the case of the direct object, that is, the word that receives the direct action of the verb. The ending is ein. Again, in comparison with the second declension noun, the second declension masculine noun is own, with an omicron. The feminine noun, it's ein, with an eta. The accusative plural, os. Instead of the us, with the second declension noun, the omicron upsilon is replaced by the feminine alpha. The vocative case, the case of the direct address. In the vocative singular, it's a, the eta, and I, the vocative plural. The feminine form is I, the masculine form again is oi. All of the nouns presented in the vocabulary list at the beginning of this lesson are presented in their basic root form, nominative case, singular number, and feminine gender. The above first declension endings can be applied to the stem of each of the first declension nouns ending with the nominative case singular ending eta in the vocabulary list. Lesson 14, page 3. Lesson 14, first declension nouns continued. The following is a declension of a first declension noun ending in eta. In other words, we've just studied the endings, and now we're going to apply those endings to an eta noun. One of our vocabulary words, the declension of graphe, writing or scripture. Notice the nominative case. The eta ending is applied to the stem of the word. Graphe is the nominative singular, meaning writing or scripture. The plural is graphai. The I ending, alpha iota, applied to the stem of the word to show the plural form of the nominative case of this word. Again, the subject, more than one writing, would be writings or scriptures. The genitive case, singular, would be graphes, of writing or of scripture, showing possession or source. The plural form of the genitive case is graphon, same as the second declension noun, so as the first declension noun, the omega nu ending, of writings or of scriptures. The dative case, showing to or for which or what something is happening, graphe, and notice the iota subscript, the mark or characteristic of the dative case, to or for a writing, or to or for scripture. The dative plural is graphais, two or four writings, or two or four scriptures. The accusative case, which is the case of the direct object receiving the direct action of the verb, the accusative singular is graphein, writing or scripture. The accusative plural would be graphas, writings or scriptures. The vocative case. The vocative singular, graphe, means writing or scripture. And the vocative plural is graphai, writings or scriptures. Lesson 14, page 4. Lesson 14, first declension nouns continued. Next will be the study of the first declension alpha nouns, that is, first declension nouns that end in alpha in the nominative singular. There are two kinds of alpha nouns of the first declension. Those differences are presented, first of all. First declension, alpha noun endings. For the alpha noun, in the nominative singular, the subject of the sentence, the alpha noun ends in alpha in the nominative singular. The eta noun ends in eta, the alpha noun ends in alpha. Both are feminine words. The plural form of the alpha noun is the same as the eta noun. It is I, the letter characteristic alpha of the feminine declension. The genitive singular. In fact, let's take the genitive singular and dative singular cases, because here is where the differences are with the eta noun. For the alpha noun, it can appear in two different forms in the genitive and dative singulars. In the genitive case, it can be ace or os. In the dative case, it can be a with the iota subscript or alpha with the iota subscript. And if you look at the bottom of page 4, you will see the grammar rule that dictates which form will be in the genitive and dative singular case. It states, the alpha is changed to eta in the genitive and dative singular. We'll stop right there. With the alpha noun, it automatically changes to an eta, that would be ace in the genitive and a in the dative. It changes to the eta, except when the stem of the word that it is applied to has an epsilon, iota, or rho at the end. In other words, the alpha noun, the alpha is changed to eta in the genitive and dative singular except after epsilon, iota, or rho. So that if we go to the genitive case here, the alpha changes to ace automatically for a genitive singular ending. But if the last letter of the stem of the word that it is being applied to has an epsilon, iota, or rho on the end of it, it changes to os. So in the genitive singular of the alpha noun, it automatically changes to ace except after epsilon, iota, or rho, and then it changes to os. The genitive plural is own, same as the eta noun and same as the second declension noun. The dative case, the alpha noun changes to eta in the dative singular except after epsilon, iota, or rho, and it stays alpha. The dative plural is ice, same as the eta noun. In the accusative case, we have a change. Instead of ain of the eta noun and own of the second declension noun, it is on in the alpha noun. The accusative plural is the same, os, same as the eta noun. The vocative case, instead of the eta with the eta noun, it's alpha, aw. And the vocative plural is the same, I, as the eta noun. So you will notice in the above presentation of the alpha noun that in the genitive and dative singular, there are two ways that the noun can appear. And so the following rule decides which ending the alpha noun will take. That rule is, the alpha is changed to eta, that's automatic, in the genitive and dative singular, except after epsilon, iota, or rho. Now you need to know this to understand the explanation. We are going to point out these changes to you. These are the reasons why words will appear in the Greek text. And as we take you through John chapter 1, we are going to point them out to you. You don't have to figure them out yourself. And in the next course, as we go through the New Testament together, word for word, we are going to point this out to you. So it's not something that you have to figure out, but it's something that you have to understand that exists with the alpha noun and why words appear the way they do in the Greek New Testament. Lesson 14, page 5. Lesson 14, first declension nouns, continued. The following is a declension, example, of a first declension noun ending in alpha with no changes in the genitive and dative singular, because the genitive and dative endings come after an iota. Point them out to you. The declension of aletheia, truth. In the nominative singular, aletheia, the stem of the word is alethe, the alpha being the nominative singular feminine ending. The plural is aletheiai, again the alpha iota feminine nominative plural ending. In the genitive case, it's aletheias. Now, the rule says that the alpha is changed to eta except after epsilon, iota, and rho. And you'll notice that the last letter of the stem of the word is alethe. So it's iota. Therefore, it does not change. The alpha stays alpha and does not automatically change to eta. Aletheos. In case you're wondering why this rule, why the changes, it's for pronunciation purposes only. The grammarians in the Koine Greek period felt like aletheis was too difficult to pronounce, and so after these three letters, they had a grammar rule that kept the alpha the same after certain letters for pronunciation purposes. The genitive plural is aletheon, of truths. The dative case, the dative singular, to or for truth, aletheia. And again, notice the alpha with the iota subscript characteristic of the dative case, that the alpha is not changed to eta, because the alpha comes after an epsilon, iota, or rho. In this case, it is the iota of the stem alethei. The dative plural is aletheis. The accusative case, the case of the direct action of the verb. The accusative singular is aletheon. And the accusative plural is aletheos. The vocative case. The vocative singular, aletheia. And the vocative plural, aletheiai. Lesson 14, page 6. Lesson 14, first declension nouns, continued. The following is a declension of a first declension noun ending in alpha with the change from alpha to eta in the genitive and dative singular. The declension of doxa, glory. Notice the nominative singular case. Doxa, you have your stem of your word, dox, with the nominative feminine singular ending, alpha. Doxa means glory. Doxai means glories, plural. But notice in the genitive case, as we will also point out in the dative, in the genitive singular, the alpha is changed to eta because the alpha does not follow an epsilon, iota, or rho. It is changed to doxes, the same genitive singular as the eta noun of the first declension, ace, and it is translated of glory. The genitive plural is the same, doxon, of glories. Notice the dative singular, doxe. The alpha is changed to eta, except after epsilon, iota, or rho. And since Xi is not an epsilon, iota, or rho. The alpha is changed and has with it the iota subscript, which is the characteristic of the dative case. Doxai, to or for glory. Doxais is to or for glories, the dative plural. The accusative case is doxan, and the accusative plural is doxas. The vocative case, doxa, is the vocative singular, meaning glory, and doxai is the vocative plural, meaning glories. You should continue on to the pronunciation exercise while you are studying and learning the first declension nouns of this lesson. Lesson 14, Exercise 1, Pronunciation Exercises. In this exercise, we are going to study the vocabulary words of Lesson 14, as well as the first declension noun forms that are in John 1, 1 through 18. All of the material that we have studied in Lessons 11 through 13 are now underlined and parsed in the text. It would be beneficial for you to take the first declension nouns section out of the chart section of your notebook for reference as we go through this exercise. The pages in the chart section for first declension nouns would be pages 14 and 15 in your chart section. We're now going to begin at line 1 and present a reading of the Greek text all the way through to the end. And as we go through, we're going to discuss the highlighted words. Beginning at line 1, N, RK. Notice RK is highlighted, and you'll notice in the chart section on first declension nouns that RK is a dative singular feminine of the feminine noun arche, pronounced the same as our reading, except arche is the nominative feminine singular. This is the dative form. And we know that the dative case is the case of the indirect object. But as we noted before, there are other uses of cases. In this instance, we have a prepositional phrase, en arche. We will study prepositions when we get to lesson 16. But let it be sufficient for us in this lesson to just note that certain prepositions take certain cases. And the preposition en, which means in, always takes the dative case. And so beginning here has the dative case, NRK. And we'll complete this discussion and study when we get to lesson 16. NRK, in beginning. Ein, ho logos. Notice ho logos is underlined in your text. And ho is the nominative singular masculine definite article. Notice also in your lesson sheets that there is a number that follows the parsing, that is the grammar breakdown of each of these words. This number in parentheses denotes what page in the chart section you can find the paradigm or declension for this word. So, ho is the nominative singular masculine article. And notice the word logos right next to it. It also is the nominative singular masculine. It is a second declension noun that we've already studied. And you can find this declension on page 12 in your chart section. So, ho logos, the article the matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. So both are nominative singular masculine. Also notice that the article ho is a proclitic. That is, it goes so closely with the word that follows as to have no accent of its own, and it is pronounced with the word logos. So it's NRK, ein, ho logos. Continuing on, kai, that is our conjunction and, line 2. hologos. Again, the repeat of these two words. Again, the word ho is the article, nominative singular masculine, along with the nominative singular masculine second declension noun, logos. Notice in your text in line 2, word 2, the lambda is capitalized. That is a capital lambda, hologos. Again, ho is a proclitic, and it is pronounced with the word logos. Continuing on in line 2, hologos ein pros ton theon. Now, pros ton theon is another prepositional phrase. Again, we'll study this phrase when we get to lesson 16. But for this lesson, just notice the word tone. Tone is underlined in your text. It is the accusative singular masculine article that modifies and goes with the word theon. Theon also is an accusative singular masculine article of theos. We will highlight this word when we get to prepositions, but let it be sufficient for this lesson just to show the article. It matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Tone and theon are both accusative singular masculine. By the way, the preposition pros, when it means with or towards, takes the accusative case. Tone, theon. Line 3. Kai, the conjunction and, theos. Notice the theta in this word is capitalized. Theos is the nominative singular masculine second declension noun. So it's in the nominative case, meaning it's the subject of this phrase or clause. And theos, God, ein was, hologos. Again, hologos is repeated. Both words are nominative singular masculine. One's the article, the other's, again, the second declension noun. At the end of line 3, which is actually the beginning of verse 2 in John chapter 1, houtos, line 4, ein, n-r-k, again, notice our prepositional phrase, n-r-k, r-k being the dative feminine singular of the first declension, feminine noun, RK. And beginning, again a prepositional phrase repeated, pros ton theon, with the God. Again, the definite article, tone, accusative singular masculine article, modifying the noun, matching it in gender, number, and case. Line 5, which is actually the beginning of verse 3 of John chapter 1. Panta diautu egeneto kai, there's our conjunction and, choris, line 6, autu egeneto ude hen ho gegonen, line 7, en auto Zoe. Here is one of our vocabulary words. Zoe, this would be the nominative singular masculine, first declension noun. Again, a feminine noun, and it means life. In him, in case you didn't recognize it, en auto is a prepositional phrase, but we haven't had personal pronouns yet. But notice auto is in the dative case because the preposition en always takes the dative case. In him, life was, or in English we would say, in him was life. Notice zoe in the nominative case. Continuing on in line 7, en auto zoe ein, and then kai, the conjunction and, hey zoe, and the life. Again, notice the nominative singular feminine article, hey. It's the nominative case, but it's feminine because it modifies the word zoe, which also happens to be nominative singular feminine, and the article matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. So the line reads, in him life was, and the life, Continuing on page 8. Page 8, line 8. Ain was tophos. Notice the word to is underlined in your text. It is the nominative singular neuter article. It matches the word phos. Now the endings don't match, but we know because of the rule that the article must match the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, that phos also has to be a nominative singular neuter noun. And this is a third declension noun. We have not yet had third declension nouns, but you can tell it's a nominative singular neuter noun just by the article that goes with it. Line 8 reads, was the light, taken over from line 7, and the life was the light, continuing on, ton anthropon, end of line 8. Notice the article and the second declension noun. Both are genitive plural masculine. The article matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, so ton anthropon. The life was the light of the men. The genitive case showing possession. The light was of the men. Anthropos, by the way, is the human being, not men in gender, but the human, anthropos. The life was the light of men. Line 9. Kai, the conjunction and, tophos. Again, the repeat of this third declension noun, but again, notice the nominative singular neuter article. And the light in the darkness. Again, notice the prepositional phrase, though we haven't had them yet. You're being introduced to it, exposed to it. Notice the article, the dative singular feminine article, te, along with the first declension feminine noun, scotia. This is an alpha noun. This is in the dative case. It being an alpha noun, but notice that the alpha noun is supposed to change to eta, except when it comes after epsilon, iota, or rho, and notice the stem of the word is scoti. Instead of it changing to scotia, it's scotia. The alpha is maintained coming after iota in the stem of the word. But these two words, te scotia, are identical in gender, number, and case. And the light in the darkness, line 10, shines, or more literally, is shining. Notice fine is now a verb. Up to now it's been all conjunctions, articles, and nouns, but now we come to what we studied in our first presentation of verbs. This is the third person singular present active indicative verb, fine. And the light in the darkness is shining, showing the action of the subject. The subject being the light. Again, line 10. Kai he scotia. Again, the conjunction and. But notice the nominative singular feminine article. Again, matching the feminine noun scotia in gender, number, and case. In this instance, this is now in the nominative case, where in lesson 9, te scotia was in the dative case. And the darkness, showing it as the subject, and the darkness, it, auto, making reference back to the light, not, we'll take the negative, u, later, 9-11, katelaven, and the darkness, it, did not overtake, katelaven. We'll take that verb when we study aorist nouns. And the darkness, it did not overtake. Line 11 at verse 6. Agenito anthropos. There became a man, Anthropos is the nominative case, the subject of the sentence, nominative singular masculine. It is the second declension noun, the masculine declension. Anthropos. Apestomenos, line 12. Para theou, there's another prepositional phrase. Theos, here's the genitive case, going with para, we'll take that in lesson 16. Onoma auto Ioannes, name to him John. Line 12 at verse 7. Hutos, line 13. Eothon, ace marturion. Now, ace marturion is another prepositional phrase. And ace, the preposition ace, takes the accusative case. So, marturion, if you notice in your chart section, under alpha nouns of the first declension, we had marturia in our vocabulary for testimony or witness. This is the accusative case. This one came for a witness or testimony. Continuing on in line 13, Hina marturese teri tu photos. Now, the end of line 13, peri, and then tu photos of line 14, that's another prepositional phrase. Peri, the preposition, takes the genitive case. And notice in line 14, tu photos. Tu is the genitive singular neuter article. Going with the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, that means photos is also a genitive singular neuter. This also is a third declension noun. It's the genitive form of the word phos, and we'll take third declension nouns later in this course. Continuing on in line 14, Hina pantes pestusosi di autu. Line 15 at verse 8, uk ein ekenos to phos. Again, notice tophos, to being a nominative singular neuter article, matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Phos also would be a nominative singular neuter, third declension noun. Line 16. Alhina marturese peri tu photos. Again, peri tu photos is a prepositional phrase. Our highlighted word is the word to, again, genitive singular neuter, matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Line 17. Ein to phos to alethinon. Now, the word alethinon is an adjective, and we'll take that in our next lesson as we study adjectives and bring this more to completion in its meaning. But line 17 reads, he was the light. Notice the word ein, which we'll study later in the course. The H is actually the capital eta. Ein tophos. Again, to is the nominative singular neuter article, matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. He was the light, the true. Again, the word to going with alethinon and to is the nominative singular neuter, matching alethinon in gender, number, and case. And we'll take that with adjectives in our next lesson. It literally reads, he was the light, the true, or in English it would be, he was the true light. The adjective describing what kind of light he is, or what type of light. We'll get that in our next lesson. At the end of line 17, ho. Line 18, fotidze, here's another verb. Remember, the verb shows the action in the sentence. This is the third person singular, present active indicative verb, fotidze. Taking our last word from line 17, which means which, making reference to the true light, and the first word of line 18, enlightens or is enlightening. And then panta, every man, anthropon, is the accusative singular masculine, second declension masculine noun. This light, this true light, is enlightening every man coming into the world. Eis ton kosmon. Notice eis ton kosmon is another prepositional phrase. Our highlighted portion is ton. It is the accusative singular masculine article matching the word kosmon in gender, number, and case. We had kosmos in the second declension noun vocabulary. Line 19 at verse 10. In the world he was, en to kosmo ein. Again, notice prepositional phrase, en to kosmo. Notice the highlighted word, to. It is the dative singular masculine article, matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Kosmo being the dative case, both to and kosmo are dative because the preposition en takes the dative case. And again, we'll study that in lesson 16. In the world he was, kai, conjunction en, line 20, ho kosmos. Now the word kosmos is in the nominative singular masculine, a case denoting the subject of the sentence. Notice the article ho, matching the word that it modifies in gender, number, and case, ho kosmos. And also notice that the word ho, the article, is a proclitic and is pronounced with the word kosmos, ho kosmos. And notice right up above, ho kosmos in line 19 is ton kosmon, the accusative form, going with the preposition. But in line 20, and the world, di autu, through him, agenito, became. And, conjunction, kai, line 21, ho kosmos, again the word kosmos in the nominative case, this would be a second clause or phrase from the first one in line 20. The two clauses are brought together by the conjunction kai. After kai, we're starting a new phrase, but we're coupling these two phrases together. Line 21, ho kosmos, and the world, him, auton, uk edno, knew not, or did not know. Line 21, verse 11, eis ta idia, eothe. Again, the preposition eis, with the accusative case, ta idia. Again, the word idia is an adjective that we'll take in lesson 15, our next lesson, but our highlighted word is the article ta, the accusative plural neuter, matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Ta idia is a match. The things his own. Or, in English, would be into his own things. He came, eltha, and, kai, hoi idioi, the ones his own. Notice now that the article is in the nominative case. Nominative plural masculine article hoi, matching the word that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Idioi being the nominative plural masculine. And again, idioi and the second word of this line, idia, are both from the same word, just different cases. And we'll study this word as an adjective in our next lesson. But notice, and it's kai hoi idioi. Hoi is also a proclitic. That is, it goes so closely with the word that follows so as to have no accent of its own. So it's pronounced kai hoi idioi. Line 23. Auton u perelebon. Hosoi de elebon. Line 24. Auton. Edoken. Autois. Exousion techna theou. Notice in line 24 the highlighted word exousion. That is the accusative case. Accusative case form of our vocabulary word exousia, the alpha noun of the first declension. It is in the accusative case because it is the direct object of the sentence. He gave authority to them. autois being in the dative case, and we'll take the personal pronouns in later lessons. But he gave authority to them. Exousion being the direct action of the verb edoken, he gave. So he gave to them authority, children, tekna, of God, showing possession or source, genitive singular masculine, second declension noun, theou, the genitive case of theos, to become, line 25, genesthai. So this last phrase in line 24, he gave to them authority, children of God to become. That is, line 25, tois pistiousin eis to onoma. That is, to the ones believing. Now notice, this is the substantive use of the article, tois. Pistiousin, the next word, is a verb. An article modifies a noun and matches in gender, number, and case. But an article can also be used as a substantive. That is, it can stand by itself, and it can denote people. For instance, it's translated two or four in the dative case, but it has to be two or four someone. Since this is the dative plural masculine, it's to the people or to the ones believing. Notice the next word is a verb. Third person plural, present active indicative, verb of pistuo. So he gave to them authority to become children, that is, to the ones who are believing, into the name of him. Eis to onoma is another prepositional phrase, which is very interesting. They did not believe concerning him, or about him, but into him, and you'll find this throughout the New Testament. Believing in Jesus Christ is literally translated in the Greek, believing into him, showing commitment, surrender. So line 25 says, to the ones believing into the name of him, in English it would be translated in his name, but literally into his name. But notice at the end of line 25, to is the accusative singular neuter article, matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, the noun being the word onoma. It's a third declension noun that we haven't had yet, but we know it's accusative singular neuter because of the article. So eis to onoma is a prepositional phrase. Eis takes the accusative case. Line 26 at verse 13. Hoi uk ex haimaton. Who, now notice the word hoi, and again we haven't had pronouns yet, but this is not an article. This is not the nominative plural masculine article. Notice it has an accent mark, hoi. The form hoi without an accent is a nominative plural masculine article, and it is a proclitic. This word has an accent with it, which makes it a pronoun, and we'll take those later. This is not the ones who. This is the word who. The personal pronoun, the pronouns for who, which, or what. Hoi. Who or which ones? Not out of bloods. Neither, ude, line 27, ek thelematos, out of the will of flesh, sarkos, nor, ude, ek thelematos, nor out of the will. Line 28. Andros, that is not out of the will of man. Ar ek theou, eganetheson, but out of God were born. Again, the word ek theou, the phrase ek theou is a prepositional phrase, theou being the genitive of the second declension noun theos, but this will be highlighted when we take prepositions in lesson 16. But it indicates to us, but out of God were born. The ones who have the authority to become the children of God are those who are born out from God, not from the will of man. At the end of line 28, at verse 14, Kai, the conjunction and, line 29. Hologos, again, here's our second declension, masculine noun, nominative singular masculine form, logos, with the definite article, nominative singular masculine, because it matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Remembering also that ho is a proclitic, which means that it goes so closely with the word that follows as to have no accent of its own. Halogos, noting the subject of this particular phrase, and the word flesh, sarx, the third declension noun, became a geneto, literally in English, and the word became flesh. Kai, the conjunction and, tabernacled, eskenosen, line 30, among us, and hemin, and, the conjunction kai, ephaesamatha, we beheld the glory, tain doxan. Notice two highlighted words. First of all, the word doxan is the accusative singular feminine form of one of our vocabulary words, a first declension noun, alpha noun, doxa. This is the accusative case, doxan. And also notice to its left, tain, is the accusative singular feminine article, matching the word that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Tain doxan. Notice the word doxan again is the alpha is retained in the accusative case. Tain doxan. This is an alpha, first declension, feminine noun. The phrase tain doxan in the accusative case denotes the direct object of the sentence receiving the direct action of the verb, and the phrase reads, and we beheld the glory. Line 31, autu, that is the glory of him or his glory. Glory, doxan, again, the accusative singular feminine form of doxa, the first declension alpha noun. Glory, hos monogenus, as of an only begotten para patros, from the father. Line 32, pleres, charitos, kai, the conjunction and, aletheas, truth. Now notice that this glory was full of grace, charitos is the genitive singular of the third declension noun, charis, which we'll take later. But the conjunction kai connects these two words, charitos and aletheas. He was full of two things, grace and truth. Notice the word aletheas. This is a genitive singular feminine of the first declension feminine noun, aletheia. But notice that the alpha is retained in the genitive singular, and it does not change to eta, because the stem of the word ends in an iota. Remember the grammar rule, if the stem of the word ends in epsilon, iota, or rho, that the alpha first declension noun does not change to eta in the genitive and dative singular. So here you have aletheas, which is a genitive singular, the alpha form. Line 32, at verse 15, Ioannes, line 32, martu re, that is third person singular, present active indicative, this is a verb showing the action. At the end of line 32, it says, John testifies, or is testifying, third person singular, verb. Interesting, this is the verb form, martu reo, showing the action of our vocabulary word, our first declension feminine noun of this lesson. Marturia is the word testimony, or witness. This is the action form. John testifies concerning him, peri autu. Kai, the conjunction and, has cried, kekorga, saying, legon, verse 34, Houtos ein hon epon. Ho opisomu. Now what is interesting, at the end of line 34, the term ho opisomu. Notice the word ho is a nominative singular masculine article. It also is capitalized in this text, which means the breathing mark and accent marks, if there were one, would be on the left-hand side. Ho, it is also the substantive use of the article. This article does not modify a noun. There's no noun in the text that it modifies. It stands by itself. So it's the one. It's the person. It's translated, the one after me coming. Also notice at the end of line 34 that ho is a proclitic. A proclitic goes so closely with the word that follows as to have no accent of its own. It's pronounced ho-o-piso. But also there are words that are called enclitics that we'll take in a couple of lessons. They are words that go so closely with the words that go in front of them as to have no accents of their own, and mu is one of those. So literally, at the end of line 34, this phrase is pronounced ho-o-piso mu, as if it's all one word. You have a proclitic and an enclitic going with the word opiso. Line 35. Ercomenos emprosthen mu. Mu being another enclitic going with emprosthen. Gegonen. End of line 35. Hoti, line 36. Protosmu ein. Line 36 at verse 16. Kai, the conjunction and. Ek tu pleromatos. Out of the fullness, autu of him, we, hemes, all, pontes, received, elabomen. Line 38. Kai, the conjunction and, grace, karin, succeeding grace, anti karitos. Line 38 at verse 17, hoti honomos. The last word of verse 38 goes with the first word of verse 39. Hoti honomos. Honomos. Nomos being a nominative singular masculine second declension noun, masculine noun, notice the os ending, the nominative case showing the subject of the sentence. Because the law, and the word ho is the nominative singular masculine article, matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, ho also is a proclitic, so it is pronounced with the word nomos, so it's hoti honomos. Because the law, through dia moseos, Moses, was given, edothe, the grace, he charis. Charis is a third declension noun, but notice, hey, nominative singular feminine article. It matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. So charis also is a nominative singular feminine noun that we'll get the study of third declension nouns later in the course. Also notice that hey is a proclitic. That is, it goes so closely with the word that follows as to have no accent of its own. Therefore, it is pronounced he charis. The grace, line 40. Kai, the conjunction and, the truth. Notice the grace and the truth. Nominative singular feminine article he going with the feminine alpha noun aletheia. Again, in the nominative case, he and aletheia match in gender, number, and case. Also notice again, the article he is a proclitic. So it's pronounced together going up to the end of line 39. He charis, kai, he aletheia. Continuing on, dia Iesu Christu, through Jesus Christ. Egeneto, line 14, became. Line 41 at verse 18. Theon, highlighted. Notice the theta is capitalized, but notice also that it is in the accusative case. Accusative singular masculine, second declension masculine noun. God, no one has seen at any time. That's the on ures he oreka popote. So the direct object is actually at the beginning of the verse or sentence. It reads in English, no one has seen God at any time. But the word God is at the beginning of the verse, showing that the writer is highlighting the word God, but it actually is the direct object of the sentence and goes behind heroike as far as the meaning. It actually denotes the completion or fulfillment of the direct action of the verb heoreka. So theon ures heoreka popota, line 42. Ho monogenes huios. Interesting phrase. Notice how the article ho and the noun that it modifies, huios, how these two words are divided by monogenes. Monogenes is an adjective describing what kind of son he is, or type of son. And we'll take this when we get into our next lesson. But it is pronounced the only begotten son, showing what kind of son he is. But the word ho and the word huios are the match. The nominative singular masculine article matching the nominative singular masculine second declension masculine noun huios in gender, number, and case, in this case, the nominative case, with the modifying adjective in between that we'll take in our next lesson. So the only begotten son, the one, notice ho, nominative singular masculine article, but it's standing by itself. It does not modify a noun, therefore it is serving as a substantive, and it is substituting itself for the man or the one, making reference back to the son. Notice it matches in gender, number, and case with ho at the beginning of this sentence. And we'll take how all these words fit together as we go through this course, but you can see the beauty of the Greek language as the mention of ho making mention back to the word ho monogenes huios. It's the only begotten son who, the one who, ho, being on into ace ton kopon, into the bosom. Again, the preposition ace, which we'll take in lesson 16, but notice the highlighted word ton. It is the accusative singular masculine article modifying and matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, kolpon. Line 43. Kolpon tu patros. Notice tu is highlighted. It is the genitive singular masculine article, and it matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, patros. The word for father is actually in the genitive case. It is a third declension noun. And this noun in the third declension, os, is the genitive case, not the nominative case. But in this case, we know that it is the genitive case because the article matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. This is the one being into the bosom of the father, showing possession. That one, ekenos, exegeseto, declared him. Christ came to exegete God, to be the exegete of God, the explanation, to give the details of God. Now you should review this exercise while going on to lesson 15 and the study of adjectives.